What's going on, everybody?
Good morning.
What it do?
Wow. It's not only good, it's a great morning. It's a crochet day. And game one of the playoffs, the Boston Red Sox there for the first time since 2021. Curtis, I can't wait. I wish we could get it started right now.
Oh, let's play three.
Right? Why not?
It does feel great. It's going to be a great day for baseball. There'll be, what, three games this afternoon, two games this afternoon?
Yes.
And then the Sox-Yankees 6:08 right here on EEI. And I am, it's just so fun. I enjoy it. If people say I hate everything, I certainly do not hate playoff baseball.
Well, the Giolito news was like a kick in the nuts yesterday.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to ignore that. And well, you get through this series and then maybe you get him back. It didn't sound that serious. Like, it sounded like it was more of a overuse of the elbow kind of thing as opposed to any kind of a tear or any kind of a ligament thing, to the way in which Alex Cora described it anyway yesterday.
Yeah. I mean, well, whatever it is, he's not pitching, and that's not good for the Red Sox. Even more importance on tonight's game because you're going to need Crochet to get you game one, and then you'll figure out either game two or game three to advance. But I love Crochet tonight. I've been all over the map, but I woke up this morning, and I manifested three strikeouts of Aaron Judge.
All right. Yeah, you're gonna need him, like Curtis said, he should be solid. Bayo you get for game two, and then hopefully you won't need Giolito. And then
that's a bold take, by the way, that they're gonna grab the first two, but I'm with you. I am with you. I hope that's the way it goes.
Right. I isn't that the expectations? Because if you don't, then what's your plan heading into game three?
Well, it sounds like it's Connelly early. It sounded right. a little bit like when you listened to Alex Cora yesterday. So
I'm a bit more worried than you are because, I mean, calling it an elbow injury, I wouldn't be surprised if it lasts longer than just the wild card. Like, I don't necessarily know if it's overuse, and that worries me a lot. When the news broke yesterday, I think that is, besides Crochet, you know, you're talking worst case scenario.
Right, but I wonder if it was like, let's say it was the regular season.
Mm-hmm.
Would he go to the IL or would they just say, all right, you're going to miss a start and then you'll be ready to go your next one? So I guess that becomes the question to, you know, with him. If they feel like, all right, we can win this series without having to use him, but if we give him that rest, he'll be ready to go for the next series.
I would be shocked if the Red Sox advance that you see Giolito again.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, elbow, kind of important for
it
a pitcher. Yeah, Giolito's cooked. But this is an example, if you want to go back to the offseason, where obviously Giolito is very good. These players are available for one-year deals, two-year club option-type deals because of injury history.
Right.
Giolito's been here for 3 years. He's missed a full season, and now he's out for the playoffs. So, I mean, it's a great position to be in because you wouldn't be missing any starts if you sucked in the regular season. But tonight it's about Crochet, Chapman, Bregman. That's it. Those are the triumvirate that are new this year. They're the reason, a big reason you are where you are and you need all three.
Any concern about Bregman when it comes to his patient zero status on the flu or the COVID or whatever it is that he has been fighting? Or
Jordan had a flu game. Brady, AFC title game 04, had a flu game. This is Bregman's flu game.
Okay, all right. I like it. So apparently he flew separate from the rest of the fellas.
Right.
And
smart move.
Very smart.
So as not to be a super spreader. And it'll be 6:08 this evening. 5:08, I believe, the pregame here on WEI and on the Shaws and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network and on the Odyssey app and wherever else you go and get your baseball for free, by the way. We don't charge, unlike the streaming services, unlike the Apples or the others. We do not charge you for a Red Sox game.
Yeah.
We provide that for you free of charge.
You get it for the donut.
I don't want to step on toes. Is anybody doing Ticketmaster for a lead?
No.
Okay, so we can just.
I don't
mock
even know
here.
What Ticketmaster is.
They're precluding people from buying tickets for the wild card.
I saw this.
Yes,
yeah.
I did see that.
If you're not a resident of New York, Pennsylvania, Connecticut, or New Jersey,
correct. Basically, just if you're a masshole, you are not allowed to buy tickets for Yankee Stadium.
Which to me is the latest and greatest example of how the cities have flipped. It used to always be that we were obsessed with the Yankees. Once we were eliminated, I grew up with Eddie Andelman celebrating the Yankees elimination party. It's flipped entirely.
Yeah.
Like, it's unbelievable how they're just, like, that's such a bad sign also for Yankees fans. Like, you're that worried your fans aren't going to want to go to the game.
We used to be all over. I remember playing the audio of Peyton Manning when he was like, please, Colts fans, don't sell your tickets to Patriots fans. And it's like, right. Now that like they're that afraid you're not doing it as your league, Curtis. We're talking about it now, correct?
Yes, sir.
Like that Major League Baseball ought to step in and prevent that. Like, it's not good for the game.
Yeah, I didn't even know that was possible. You could do that.
It's great for the game to have opposing fans there. Right. I mean, there have been last 3 years. Here, the team wouldn't have survived without opposing fans that were going to
Dodgers
games.
Fans brought us Bregman.
We have half a Connecticut, I will say. So our fans will still get in somehow,
you have to be living in you have to be living in Connecticut.
But we got a lot of Red Sox fans in Connecticut.
Let Massachusetts, Vermont, New Hampshire, anybody. DC.
It's ridiculous. Like,
that's weird.
Yeah, like in order you have to get a surrogate. Like, you have to go to the dark web to buy a ticket to go see the Red Sox, the wild card series at Yankee Stadium. Like, that's ridiculous.
Is this normal? I feel like I've never heard that before.
It's happened before in the NFL. Okay. I can't remember it ever happening in Major League Baseball. Can you, Curtis?
No, and you're spot on. What makes these playoff games so great is how you have about 20 to 30% of the fan base, whether it's Fenway Yankee fans or Yankee Stadium Red Sox fans, that, you know, it builds the tension. It's a great back and forth. And for the Yankees to do that, I was shocked. Honestly, I was like,
"So it's the Yankees that do it, or Ticketmaster?"
No, the Yankees use Ticketmaster to sell their tickets.
All right,
Tell Ticketmaster, please don't allow anybody with a billing address outside of these areas to purchase.
Yeah, wow, it's crazy.
Ridiculous. So, all right, well, Wild Card Series gets underway this evening, game number one, and you can talk about that with us all morning long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. We have our leads coming up in just a few minutes, and then at 7:20, they set it, and we will go over what Aaron Boone said the rest of the American League knew all season long about our beloved Boston Red Sox. So that and the rest of They Said It coming up at 7:20 this morning. Courtney has the news at 7:45. And there is big beef in the family of Colonel Sanders, which is that irony or coincidence if there's big beef in the Colonel Sanders?
I think you're mispronouncing that.
Oh, yeah. Colonel Sanders family. And it has led to the sharing of extremely confidential information. Mm. So we will get to that during the news, and it's a Ty Tuesday. So Ty Law will join us at 8:20, and then we will talk tonight's game and this series with the chief baseball officer of the Boston Red Sox, Craig Breslow, who will join us at 9 on this morning show and give us the latest on the Giolito injury.
Good morning.
Good morning. And the latest on Giolito and whatever kind of update there is on Alex Bregman and everything else related to the series. So that is coming up at 9 this morning. And as always, a reminder, couple reminders for you. Number one, leave a Hill note at any time. That's a voice note on whatever topic is on your mind. And you can leave that on the Odyssey app. You will see a microphone that you have to click on and then talk away. And we'll play the best ones back at about 9:20 or 9:30 this morning. And hello and good morning if you happen to be up already and watching this show. And you can do that on YouTube or on Twitch. And you can check when you watch the show, you get the swag of wigs. You get the radiant glow of Courtney Cox.
Thank you.
You get the full furriness of Chris Scheim, and you get all of that on Twitch and on YouTube. And our show on Twitch and on YouTube is brought to you by Springer's Jewelers. And for 150 years, they have been selling you incredible pieces of jewelry and timepieces in tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire. So if you need either, go see them there and tell them that you listen to this show. Yes, Curtis.
I'm just waiting because my internet's down. Is everybody that ripped Tom Brady for doing a deal with the Saudis demanding that the NFL, NHL, and Major League Baseball stop doing business with EA Sports? Because EA Sports sold for $55 billion to the Saudi investment fund.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So if you play video games,
that
and
I do.
You play Madden or any one of those Electronic Arts games, you are supporting the Saudi government.
Huh?
So that means that the NFL, Major League Baseball, and the NHL and their players' associations are now fully in bed with the Saudi investment fund. So
it's interesting. There are some comedians who are ripping a bunch of other comedians who are doing a big comedy festival in Saudi Arabia. Bill Burr and Dave Chappelle and a bunch of other big names are going there to do a show.
Right.
And guys like Shane Gillis and Mark Marone are like ripping them for going and taking the Saudi money. So
really?
Yeah.
That's such fake news. Like, do people really care? Honestly.
No, they just don't like certain people, and then they use this as a way to criticize
people
them.
Really care about, like, do they know, like, where the dollars are going or coming from Saudis? Or are people just like, you know, is this them just using this because, like Curtis said, you don't like this person? It's so stupid. It's the dumb, you know, there's all these things, whether it was child labor with Nike and people complain about this, but yet people walk around and put Nike on. And how many people really know the backstory and dive into what really goes on with all this stuff. It's like such fake anger.
There are some people who stand on principle.
There's nobody who stands on principle.
No, if any of those people were offered the same money go do exactly what they're doing, they would take it. Money talks. Like that's the world we live in.
And then it's not even that corny. It's like, okay, so why are you so upset with them taking money from the Saudis, and they won't even know. You know what they'll say? 9/11.
Right.
Elaborate, and they won't know. They'll just like, it's so like stupid. Like
it's the definition of selective outrage.
Yeah, the morals that people have. It's like when people get all upset of like certain things, and like people die every day in America in your backyard, but you're worried about people dying in foreign countries.
Well, I mean,
come on, stop picking and choosing people.
If you want me to play devil's advocate, I'm happy to do that. It's not just 9/11. It's the execution that it seems like they ordered on a journalist. I mean, there are things that that are distasteful that they've done.
Right.
But I'm certain that every government has
there's
done.
Distasteful things here that happen every day in America. Why ain't they bitching and complaining about that?
Yeah.
You know, there are kids getting their brains blown out on a daily basis. I don't see them beating the drum. Stop it. Stop it. Live your life. Enjoy your life. Stop with this stupid fake outrage.
And stop judging other people on how they're making the money. Like, that's
right.
Like, mind your business there. If they're doing what's best for them and their family to make ends meet, like, relax.
I can't wait to see Mike Florio, who works for NBC Football Night in America, do a big diatribe against the NFL and the players for joining EA Sports and the Saudi fund. Oh, wait. He'll never do it. It just gets clicks when you rip Brady.
Go over there, Chappelle. Do a 45-minute show and get you $75
million. Well, yeah, I'm sure that's
Saudi's got that good money, bro.
I'm sure we are well aware of your love for the Saudi money.
Yeah, they got their long money.
This whole entire rant is just because you want to be able to go over there and visit Dubai one day.
I would have a Kool-Aid smile on, and I would wear one of the whole, you know, garbs and outfits.
You'd wear the full garb.
What?
Yeah. Probably a double X. On the head. Do they have any double X robes available?
Yeah, listen, if they got to go 3X, I'll be there, Kool-Aid smile and everything.
And the thing is,
giving out 8x10s and, you know, 150 degree heat.
I understand. You'd crawl through the desert with no water to get the bag of cash.
That is long money over there in Saudi.
Wiggy would say, His Excellency Sheikh Turkey, as Brady did. And
that is long money. I hate the people that have these fake morals.
I'd now like to turn it over to His Excellency Turkey Alav Sheikh.
Ah, yes.
Exactly. I'd be like, yeah.
Wiggy, it's like those people that are protesting capitalism while wearing a Nike shirt drinking a Coke.
It's stupid. It's stupid.
Yeah, Wiggy'd be like His Excellency Turkey a la Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
Turkey a la stuffed. All right. Let's, if we could, get the show going with what is trending. And here is Courtney with all of that.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Shaw's. Monday Night Football saw the Broncos beat down the Browns 28-3, and the Dolphins beat the Jets 27-21. Dolphins win, but a tough one for Tyreek Hill, who went down with a knee injury. Not only did he dislocate his knee, but he tore a bunch of ligaments, including his ACL. He will undergo surgery today.
It looked bad.
I've dislocated my knee a few times, my right one, and then once on my left. It is the worst pain you will ever feel.
Like leg was going in the other direction. Looked bad.
Yeah. And usually they've got to pop it back in, but then you've got to look at the ligament damage, and it seems like he has a lot.
See, you could have traded for that guy. Now you got to figure out, all right, who's next if you're a Pats fan?
The big news yesterday came from the Red Sox. Greg already brought it up, but Alex Cora announcing that Lucas Giolito will not be on the wild card roster for the Sox versus the Yankees. Here's Cora.
Lucas, he's not going to be on the roster. He's been battling with his elbow the last few days, and today he went to see Dr. Dugas. So, hopefully it's nothing major, but he won't be ready for this one.
That series kicks off tonight, 6:08 first pitch with Garrett Crochet getting the start. Lou Brilloni, Will Middlebrooks, and Will Fleming are on the call for the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. Shaw's, go shopping, get rewarded. Kick things off with Christian Arcan at 5:08 for the MassMutual pregame show. And yesterday was Celtics Media Day. We're going to hear a bit during they said it, but Jason Tatum spoke about his recovery as he comes back from his Achilles injury. It was very interesting to hear how optimistic he is on the recovery.
Well, how can he not be, and how can we not be?
Right.
After he shared that video of the what he called his first basketball workout, the dude looks like he could play game one if he needed to.
It's insane. He looked good. For my lead this morning, I'm going to play what Peyton Pritchard had to say about Tatum.
All right, we'll wait till then. That's fine.
And also, like, Joe Mazzulla talking about how any chance he got, he would work out with him. Like, it seems like everybody is rallying around, as they should.
Yeah.
So a lot to get to there. And that was brought to you by Shaw's and Star Market, perfecting the art of fresh. Beefy savings are on sale today at Shaw's and Star Market. Get value pack beef, petite, sirloin steak, or top round London broil. Only $4.97 a pound when you use the digital coupon. That's limited to 2 per customer, short on time. Order pickup or delivery. Shaw's and Star Market, the official supermarket of the Red Sox Radio Network.
I didn't hear what you said, but corrections rolling in on the Subaru of New England text line. Did you say Browns instead of Bengals?
Yes.
Oh, you did.
Okay. I did.
All right. Common mistake?
No, I said Bengals.
You did?
No, you said Browns. I changed it in the doc for you.
Oh.
And texted you.
Thank you, Sean.
I tried not to do it over the air because I got yelled at last time. So I was going to do it off the air, but text line beat me to it.
Thank you very much, Sean.
You're welcome. I'm doing what I can.
Don't worry about it.
Your service is appreciated.
They're both in Ohio.
And we got baseball on the brain.
Yeah, everybody's got Giolito's injury on the brain.
No, it's just me making a mistake. It's okay.
Give yourself an extra serving of catnip when you get home and put the costume on.
Greg, that stuff smells gross. Why would I do that? Okay. I prefer kibble.
All right. We are going to get to our leads coming up next. It is Ty Tuesday, Ty Law on this show at 8:20 on a big win for the New England Patriots this past weekend and a huge game in Buffalo this Sunday night. All of that with Ty Law coming up, and the Boston Red Sox begin their October baseball quest this evening, and that first pitch is at 6:08, and you can talk about that all morning long on this show. Can we, before we begin leads, can we open up the window world, the Boston weather window, for our weather smoke, Chris Curtis? All right, Curtis, what do we see out there today?
All right. I had no AC for like 5 days.
Really?
And they're redoing the HVAC units and the new roof. And
I thought your dad shut the credit card off or something like that.
It was unfortunate. I was this close to Bonvoy points. 57 degrees and cloudy, afternoon high 74 in Boston. You can't get me down today, Greg, I'll tell you that. In the Bronx, tonight for first pitch, looking like partly cloudy, perfect, 65 degrees.
And I heard maybe the in the 80s over the weekend. Like, is that accurate?
Yeah. What do we call summer now? Because I don't think we can call it what we used to. At least I won't. Is it like just extended summer?
Summer forward is whatever it is.
Well, let's keep it going.
Let's extend this thing. Let's go, Saudis. Let's keep using that fossil fuel. I love warm days in October. So it's going to be about 80 this weekend.
Okay. You can get a whole house full of windows installed for just $99 a month. And they are energy efficient windows. And you can get that and get that only from Window World of Boston. So go to windowworldofboston.com. They said it coming up at 7:20, and that includes what Aaron Boone said in a bit of an attempt to troll Alex Cora with regards to what the rest of the American League has known about the Boston Red Sox all season long. So we will – any kind of repercussions career-wise for Aaron Boone if the Sox win this, Curtis?
Greg, I am done saying the Yankees are going to fire their manager because I would have fired Boone like 16 times by now. He seems like a nice guy, you know, nothing personal. It's just they have spent, I think, $2 billion since their last World Series, and they're sitting here and they're in the wild card. They got beat out in the division by the Jays. I don't know. They seem like a team that is underachieved under Aaron Boone.
Yeah. Now,
if they lose this, maybe losing to the Sox is what is the catalyst to getting a new manager, but I'm not sure.
Yeah, I think if they lose, he's done.
You do?
Yeah, I think so. Because Curtis is right. They spent a bunch of money. They what? In the World Series last year. The expectations were extremely high for them this year. I think that in the way that they that they got in, I think that a lot is basically put on him, and people are kind of like, all right, Boone, you've been here long enough.
It's certainly not as bad as the Mets, though. I mean, the Mets spend $400 million, went out and got your guy, and are not a playoff team.
Right.
And so, I mean, you wanted the Red Sox to
get Juan Soto.
You want him to write a $1.5 billion check for Juan Soto.
I think we all did.
And so...
it's revisionist history now when you look back.
Well, I'm not doing revisionist history.
You wanted Juan Soto, too.
You had 75 leads about how the Red Sox had to get Juan Soto.
And you were like, they should get Juan Soto. Why don't they spend any money on a guy like that?
I think if Juan Soto was an option, nobody would turn that down, you know?
Yeah, well, now it's revisionist history because the Mets stunk to go back and go, well, you know what?
I'm just suggesting that maybe the way this Red Sox team approaches things when it comes to being strategic with where you spend your money, how you spend it, and when you spend it, and when you spend it is the right way to go. You know what I'm saying, Chime?
Greg. Unite.
Do you go to meetings in the seaport where you can think of ways to keep the man down? You're worried about John Henry's money. Why would you give a damn about John Henry's money?
Yeah, thought partner.
I'm so glad he used the money he could have spent on Soto to get a striker for Liverpool.
Yeah, you shouldn't care about any owner's
money.
How are
the Penguins' new wingers looking this year?
I don't sit here and go, oh, the Patriots need to save money the way they're built. No, if you got the money, spend it on elite talent.
Wiggy, let me ask you a question. If the Red Sox had Soto, do you think they win the series?
I think so.
Yep.
I'd be
would he help the Red Sox? Would he have a little pop to a lineup that lacks it?
He would definitely add a little pop to your lineup. Yeah.
You remind me when you bring up the Pittsburgh Penguins that we will introduce some new Bruins programming this season on this show, and the introduction will happen on Thursday. So I will say no more about that, but got some cool stuff for you here at the radio station and on the Greg Hill Show. And an announcement about that coming on Thursday.
I'm not going to get ahead of it. Dale's here Thursdays.
Is that what it is? Okay. All right. We should get Dale for Beat the Geek.
Ooh.
Although.
That's Geek on Geek Crime.
I think I may have a surprise for Beat the Geek on Friday.
Dale here.
I'm working on it. That's
surprise.
All.
Surprise.
It's a surprise, yeah. Oh, no, I can't. Well, it could happen Friday, maybe, because we're down in – it would have to be in Newport. But I'll work on it.
What if Jay Leno picks against Shine?
We could do that. That's a good one. All right, let's get to this.
This is the Greg Hill Show. Time now for The Lead.
Mm-hmm. if he said it one time, he said it 100 times, and I'm talking about Chris Curtis, there is nothing better than October playoff baseball in Boston, Massachusetts. And that's what you get on the last day of September, and our leads this morning are brought to you by Subaru. Wherever life takes you, trust Subaru to get you there safely. Don't miss the Subaru of New England all-wheel drive away event. It is going on right now. Learn more when you go to SubaruofNewEngland.com. Hello, Shime.
Hey, Greg, good morning. So your Boston Red Sox today start their playoff series with the New York Yankees tonight. 6:08 first pitch right here on the Charles and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. And Garrett Crochet is a +110 underdog, which I love. And I'm here to tell you, Greg, if the Sox get the win tonight, the series might just be over. Hmm. Because Brian Baio, in his career, has been really, really good against the New York Yankees. So in his career, he is 5-4 with an ERA of 2.35 and 53 strikeouts in 11 appearances against the New York Yankees. But when you simplify that down to just at Yankee Stadium, Brian Baio is 3-1 with a no decision, averages about 6 1/3 innings pitched, okay, and has a 1.45 ERA in Yankee Stadium.
All right.
I think that Brian Baio is primed for an exceptional. Len Laird is out there foaming at the mouth because he is so excited for baby Pedro to light it up in game two and punch the Sox ticket into the next round of the playoffs.
Okay. I mean, really, I think most of us, and it might be stupid, but we don't have a lot of concern about tonight, about Garrett Crochet, about closing that out tonight, and then it all becomes what can you do tomorrow night.
Yep.
So, excellent information, Shime. Thank you, Curtis. Good morning.
Good morning, Greg. In honor of Red Sox Yankees, today, my top five Red Sox Yankees playoff games.
In history.
Number five.
We're going to start with others receiving votes, because if I don't have this, people will be mad. The 2021 one-game playoff, great job. Two-run home run by Bogarts, good win. Number five, Game 3, 1999, Fenway Park, Pedro v. Clemens, Red Sox win. Where is Roger? One of the great chants of all time. The Red Sox lost the series, but it was a phenomenal Saturday afternoon at Fenway Park.
Number four.
The only loss I have on this list, Game 3, 2003 ALCS, where you had Don Zimmer charge after Pedro Martinez. You had Manny wildly overreact to a ball that was sort of near his head by Clemens. A game that saw the real sort of the old school 70s Red Sox-Yankees rivalry come to a head.
Coming in at number third.
Thank you, Courtney. Game 6, 04. Pedro Martinez, I'm sorry, Game 604, Curt Schilling, bloody sock. The McCarver line as Schilling stumbled into the dugout, into the waiting arms of Terry Francona. What Curt Schilling did tonight will long live in New England baseball lore.
Mm.
Number two.
Chills, Curtis.
This may be somewhat debatable, but I have my number one is my personal choice. Game 7, 04 is number two, because that was, you know, this unbelievable moment, the Damon home run, and just watching the Yankee fans just get absolutely throwing up their pretzels throughout the game because the Red Sox finally were going to win that one. But there wasn't a lot of drama in the end, but that's number two playoff game.
Number one.
The greatest single sporting event that I have ever been to. One of the more underrated games in the history of Boston sports. Game 5, 04 ALCS. 5 hours and 59 minutes. 14 innings. The call of Joe Buck as David Ortiz, the guy that was the, you know, the modern day Ruth, flares a ball into center field. Damon rounds third and Joe Buck says, "And you can keep on running to New York." The Pike heading out of Boston that night just had the score, so all the losers that had to drive back to New York because we let you buy tickets because we're not 4 years old saw that. That was just one of the more unbelievable. The amount of things that happened in Game 504 was like the Super Bowl 51 in that there was a ball hit by Tony Clark into the right field corner where if the ball stays in Fenway, then it's a run because I think Cabrera was at first and he scored. It went into the stand, so it was a ground rule double. They had to put the guy back at third. Jason Varitek famously having to catch Tim Wakefield, something he never did. just an unbelievable game. And those are my best Red Sox playoff moments.
Well done, Curtis, from the savant seat over there. Is it still the greatest rivalry in sports? I mean, for decades it was. Is it still? Is there anything that's better at this point?
Ohio State-Michigan may be better. Those games have been unbelievable of late. But, I mean, historically, I would say,
It went away for a little bit. Like 2 years ago, Wiggy was like, there's no rivalry between Boston and New York.
Yeah, when they weren't
like,
good.
It's back. But I think it's fully back.
But it was true, though. The rivalry was, it's kind of like the Celtics-Lakers. You know, when the teams aren't good and both of them are not competing for something, even though it's the rivalry has been around forever, it doesn't make it the best even when they stink.
Yeah, well, you end up with, it, depending on how long it goes, a generation who it was irrelevant to. So
right. That's why I said it's like Celtics-Lakers.
Yeah, that's the problem. All right, game one tonight. And you can talk about that all morning and all day long here on Boston Sports Original, WEEI. And you can hear that game for free on the Odyssey app and on the Shaw's and Star Market Red Sox Radio Network. 6:08 first pitch tonight. And we are back with more of today's leads next. It is a crochet day. Wild card series underway tonight, and it is a tie Tuesday, and that means that Ty Law will join us at 8:20 this morning. When we have leads left, when we get to my lead, one of this city's most popular athletes wants your trash so he can recycle it into something useful, and we'll get to that during my lead. But right now, Courtney, good morning and hello.
Good morning. Hello, everybody. Quickly, just an apology because the brain's just not working. I'm sorry I made that flub. That should not happen during a trending. And
that was very, you confused the Bengals for the Browns. No, I mean, it happens.
No, it shouldn't happen. I don't know how I'm going to correct these little flubs moving forward. Ashley Feldman, who's on Jammin', told me, like, it's only going to get worse. Like, the brain stuff. I might need Chime to double-check my work or maybe rehearse with Chime before the show. I was reading an article about the Bengals not being able to even do well if Joe Burrow comes back. And then I just, my brain needs to compute I'm seeing. Butter hands.
Yeah, it's pregnancy brain. I think it's a very common thing.
But I can't use that excuse for the next 5 months. I need to figure it out.
No, you could use that.
No, it's fine.
I need to figure it out. So my apologies. Under Colonel Jeffrey Noble's direction, I'm going to nail a colonel today, let me tell you.
Okay. Save that.
But my lead this morning is from Media Day yesterday. We talked about Jason Tatum speaking about his recovery, coming back from the Achilles injury. The video he posted that was shocking to most fans, seeing just 4 months after the Achilles injury what he's able to do out there.
Rusty is a mother.
But Peyton Pritchard spoke about Jason Tatum and what he's seen from him and what he expects from him once he makes his return. I thought it was very interesting.
We'll start with JT's. You never want to see somebody get injured like that, but watching how he's been able to approach every day and the spirit he has is unbelievable, and I think he'll be better than what he was before. That's the type of mentality he has, and that's the type of work he's putting in. So I've been here since second week of August, back and forth, even in the beginning of summer, and he's been in here every day training. So you definitely know he's motivated.
We talked about this last week because I think a lot of people are saying he's never going to be the same player he was before. You bring up guys that have done the same exact thing and have
Kevin
come
back. Kevin Durant.
Yep, Kevin Durant as being one of them. I just think that Jason Tatum, the player we've seen in the past, the mentality he's had in the past, the work he puts into the game, this is very, very impressive and gives me tons of hope for the Celtics moving forward.
Yeah, when he was making the media rounds last week, I think we played it during they said it, and he said he and his doctor had set a timetable for his return, a specific date with his doctor. Do you think that date was what do you think it was? I think it was like January 1st, to be honest with you.
Same.
And I know that there are going to be some who say you don't need Jason Tatum back this season, but I don't think you're going to be able to tell him, like, you're not going to be able to say, hey, we're mailing it in this season. We want to get a better pick or whatever it is. We want you to that, like, he's going to want to come back when he wants to come back. And I think it's going to be, I think it's going to be soon. Like, what do you think that date was in his mind?
I would say it'd probably be somewhere March.
You think? Oh, that, really?
I'm with Greg. I was thinking more January 1.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Because he wanted to set a goal for himself. And you see him there. And again, it's just him. It's just, it's not in game. It's whatever. But he's.
Can we bet something massive on this?
Yeah.
There is dribbling a basketball and playing in an NBA game are massively different.
Yep.
I don't think he's here. I would be surprised if he played. I would set the over-under on games this year at 5.
Really?
Wow.
Well, I mean, give me another example of somebody playing this quickly.
Nobody. No. Durant hurt his, and then he, in 2018-19 season, then he sat out the whole 19-20 season.
Yeah, I mean, right. I would be, if he plays more than 5 games this year, I will get another non-existent tattoo on my head.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know. And then Durant, before the injury, that season he was averaging 26. After the injury, he's averaged 26, 29, 29.
But just play along with me. Do you think the date that he set in his mind to motivate him to do all the rehab that he needed to do was earlier, was this season? Was it early?
I think it was this season.
Do you think it was December or January? I don't think he's setting a date in his mind to get back with 5 games left.
No, I think it's December, January,
February. He's not making a deal to say that in the media, that he and his doctor have set a date.
Right. So my question, the question then becomes, if he's sitting there pounding the table saying, I want to play, are they going to tell him that he can't? No way. Like, no way the Celtics are going to tell him.
Well, I told you, I've played with guys that blew out their Achilles before, and generally it's like, you know, a year thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes, you know, maybe a little bit longer, a little bit shorter at times. But I guess the question becomes where if the doctors say to him, all right, Tatum, come January 1st, for example, no issues at all, you're good to go, cleared to play, the percentage of you re-injuring it is very low. And then physically, you know, because you know how it is, if your other leg is compensating more for one leg, then maybe there's other injuries that you can lead to. But if they're like, you're good to go, then I guess it's the team going, is it worth playing them if we're...
I'm asking the question whether you think this team, this new ownership, can tell Jason Tatum when he can play or not.
No, I don't think anybody could tell Jason Tatum.
Then you answered my question. Yeah,
I don't think anybody can tell him.
I got there.
But that doesn't mean it's...
Yeah, we need a new bet on that, Curtis. Yeah, all right, come up with something good.
I will.
I don't want to say it's Jan 1, because he keeps saying it will be in front of like a home crowd. It'll be at the Garden. And Jan 1, they're on the road. So, I don't know, Jan 5, they're home?
Yeah, I know. It could be Christmas. I have no idea what date he said. Absolutely no idea.
Yeah, but that don't mean it's smart if he goes, oh, I can play. Ownership should step in and go, it's not worth it. Like, just because you can play or you're pushing yourself to play by a specific date, that doesn't mean it's smart. Players do that all the time. They force themselves to get back, but it's not a – you got to look at what's the best decision, not just for you, Tatum, but for the team.
Right.
Can we see if there's any odds what the over-under would be for Tatum this year? Because that would be a great sort of baseline understanding of what the basketball betting world thinks.
Shine?
I am Googling now.
Okay. Why don't we take a break while you Google? Thank you, Courtney.
Thank you.
And we will get to a lead from Wiggy and a lead from me coming up next.